الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من كان يريد العاجلة عجلنا له فيها ما نشاء لمن نريد ثم جعلنا له جهنم يصلاها مذموما مدحورا ومن أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا صدق الله العظيم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تداين بدين وفي نفسه وفاؤه تجاوز الله عنه يوم القيامة وأرضى غريمه بما شاء ومن تداين بدين وليس في نفسه وفاؤه اقتص الله لغريمه يوم القيامة وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, we find that to a very large extent we are an ummah that is going in such a direction which is in complete conflict with the teachings of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regards to our earning, with regards to our livelihood. If you listen in the marketplaces, if you listen in the bazaars, if you look at the media, generally to a very large extent the names of Muslims are being maligned. When it comes to business dealings, we find where there are crooked dealings taking place, if somebody is being done down, if some scam is taking place, we find to a very large extent, more often than not, we'll find the names of Muslims involved in that. On the other hand, with regards to livelihood, with regards to the acquisition of worldly wealth, this has never been a basis of dignity or honor or status for the ummah of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly encapsulates for us and makes us understand. Umar radiallahu ta'ala who says, دخلت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإذا هو مضطجع على رمال حصيد ليس بينه وبينه فراش. He says, I entered in the room of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now, who is Nabi Pak صلى الله عليه وسلم? The greatest of Allah's creation. That personality who in his salah, Jannat was revealed to him. That personality who was offered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, عرض علي ربي أن يجعل بطحاء مكة ذهبا وفضة. He says, my Rabb offered me, Allah offered me, that if you want, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will turn the mountain ranges of Makkah into gold and silver for you, and it will follow you wherever you go. Such a personality. And yet, what was his worldly circumstance? Umar radiallahu anhu says, I entered into his room and I found him lying on a straw mat. There was no sheet, there was no cloth, there was no blanket between him and the straw mat, to such an extent that I saw the imprint of the mat on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muttakiyan ala wisadati min udum hashwaha leaf. He describes the pillow of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not something with down feathers or not a soft pillow. He says he was lying, his pillow was made out of leather, which was full with the leaves of trees. He goes on And he says that in another corner of the room was a piece of leather that was tanning. And it is well known that leather, when it is tanning, it gives off a bad smell. And there was nothing else in the room of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he sees this, he begins to cry. And he makes a request to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Udu'u Allah falyuwassi ala ummatik." That, O Nabi of Allah, make dua to Allah ta'ala that Allah should increase your worldly circumstance. Why? What is the reasoning? That the Romans and the Persians, فَإِنَّ فَارِسْ وَالْرُومِ قَدْ وُسِّعَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَهُمْ لَا يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهِ. The Romans and the Persians, the disbelievers, the enemies of Allah, they are in the lap of luxury. You are the beloved of Allah. You have brought Iman on Allah. You are the selected and the chosen of Allah. And this is your worldly circumstance. So make dua that Allah increases your wealth. What is the response? What is the reaction of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this? He gets up, strikes the chest of Umar in anger and says, "Awafi anta hadha ya ibn al-Khattab?" That, "O Umar, are you still in a doubt? What is the crux? What is the meaning? That we are not an ummah. We have never been an ummah that will measure its success or achievement on the basis of worldly wealth and what has been amassed of this world." One alim explains it beautifully. He says, if a person is earning, his earning power is 5. And his standard of life is 10. Then what is the philosophy of the people of Batil? Increase your earning power. Hanker after this dunya. Make more effort so that eventually this 5 becomes 10. You raise your earning power to keep up with your standard of life. But while this may sound logical, the fact of the matter, my respected brothers, is that when someone was earning 5,000 rand a month, he was prepared to drive a Toyota. When he starts earning 15 and 20,000 rand a month, then he no longer is prepared to drive a Toyota, he wants to drive a Mercedes Benz. So as his earning power goes higher and higher, the standard of his life also is going higher and higher. And what is the philosophy and the teachings of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That we are not an ummah that came to chase after this dunya. If your earning power is 5 and your standard of life is 10, then what you should be doing is bring the 10 down to 5. Lower your standard of life. Bring simplicity. He said, "Tuba, tuba liman aslama wa ruziqa kafafan wa qanna'ahu Allahu bima ata." He said, "Mubarak, glad tidings, there is no one on this earth more fortunate than this person." Who is that person? He said, "He has Islam, he has Iman. So far as his dunya is concerned, so far as his livelihood is concerned, he has sufficient just to meet his needs." And then, what is the crowning glory? وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا آتَى. Allah has given him qanaat. Allah has given him contentment in the heart over his livelihood. He is not hankering, he is not chasing after the things of dunya. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my respected brothers, my knowledge is very limited. But if we look at the galaxy of ahadith, very rarely we will find this type of expression found in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, inna jibril nafatha fi ru'i." What does this mean? He says, Jibreel came with a message from my Allah. Generally in the hadith, it will come, "Atani Jibreel." Jibreel came and told me, and he would inform the ummah. Here, to impress upon the ummah the importance of this message, he says, "Jibreel blew it into my soul." Jibreel blew it into my soul. What? "Anna nafsa lan tamuta hatta yastakmila rizqaha." That none of you can die, your death will never occur until and unless you do not finish that risk and sustenance which Allah has already ordained for you. Whether you work 2 hours or 12 hours, whether you chase and hanker, whether you do people down, whether you lie, whether you cheat, whether you deceive, or whether you are honest, whatever you do, your rozi and your sustenance is already ordained, and you will never get more or less, and your mort will never occur until you don't finish that risk. Janabi Rasulullah ﷺ says, Jibreel came and blew this in my soul. So what must you do, O my ummah? فَاتَّقُ اللَّهِ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. He said, fear Allah when it comes to your livelihood. And adopt moderation. Do not hanker after this dunya. Allah does not require you for your sustenance to become a slave of this dunya. You are an ummah that has come with a higher purpose. فَإِنِ اسْتَبْطَى أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ رِزْقَهُ فَلَا يَطْلُبْهُ بِمَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنَالُ فَضْلَهُ بِمَعْصِيَتِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Ajib. Respected brothers, just this one hadith, the occasion of Jumu'ah, it is impossible. It's like fighting with a clock to explain. Allah give us the understanding. Janabi Rasulullah ﷺ said, he said, if there is a delay in your rozi, what does this mean? Sometimes we're living in rental accommodation, we want to buy that house. Sometimes we can't afford that car that we want. You know, we have roving eyes looking at what everybody else has. Constantly wanting more and more. He says, if there is a delay in your rizq, what you wanted hasn't yet happened, then, O my ummah, do not, in the quest of trying to achieve that status or position that you are after, do not go towards the disobedience of Allah. Because Allah's fazl and Allah's grace and barakat from Allah can never ever be acquired in the disobedience of Allah. Once Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that, O Abu Zar, tell me who is a rich man, who is a wealthy person. Abu Zar responds logically and he says, Ya Rasulullah, that person who has a lot of possessions. That person who has a lot of possessions, he is a rich man. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, tell me who is a poor man. Abu Zar explains, that person who does not have wealth, who does not have the possessions of this world. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter explains to Abu Zar, that, O Abu Zar, know and understand, wealth and poverty has nothing to do with the material possessions of this world. The rich man is that person who Allah has given qanaat, that person who is content over that which Allah has given him. He has that wealth which no wealth in this world can compare with. And the poor man, he may be a millionaire, he may be a billionaire. He may have all the wealth of this world, but if he does not have contentment, if he is not satisfied with that which Allah has given him, he will be a slave. He will continue hankering. He won't know day from night. Janabi Rasulullah ﷺ says, despite his wealth, if he does not have qanaat and contentment, he is a poor person. Al-qanaatu kanzun la yafna. He said, qanaat and contentment, being content with your lot, is a treasure which will never ever come to an end. One person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, inni uridu an akuna aghna an-nas. O Nabi of Allah, I want to be the wealthiest man on the surface of this earth. I want to be the wealthiest man on the surface of the earth. Understand the question. What is the response and the reply? Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, Kun qani'an, takun aghna an-nas. Become content with that which Allah has given you. There will be no one more wealthy than you in this entire world. There is one maxim and one saying. They say, as long as you will not stretch your hand out to the next person, you are equal to him. The day you ask from the next person, the day you stretch out your hand to the next person, you have become his slave and he has become your master. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that sahabi who narrated the most ahadith, 5,374 ahadith. After Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the second highest narrator of hadith is Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. Faqiyamul Layth Samarqandi rahmatullahi mentions the riwayat That on one occasion they asked her, O Ummul Mu'mineen, tell us, what is it that you heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying the most often in your home? What would he repeat the most? Second highest narrator of hadith. What did she hear him saying over and over and over again? لو كان لابن آدم واديا من ذهب أحب أن يكون له واديان ولن يملا فاه إلا التراب. He said, if Ibn Adam, if insan had one valley of gold, he'll want the second one. If he had a second one, he'll want the third one. If he had the third one, he'll want the fourth one. Nothing but the sand of the grave will ever satisfy him. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that sharab ke nasha aisi cheez hai, that the intoxication of liquor is such a thing, that a drunkard gets drunk at night, by the next morning, the effect of that drunkenness is gone. But he used to say, dunya ke muhabbat ke nasha, aise nasha hai, ke maut tak aadmi ke saath rahega. That the love of this dunya, the hankering after this dunya, it is that nasha and that intoxication that if it is not addressed, if the disease is not cured, an attempt is not made to cure it, he says that the love of this dunya, it is that nasha and that intoxication that will blind a person right up till death. Right up till death. If we look at the example of Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajma'in, on one occasion Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to Abdullah bin Ja'far and he says to him, this was after the demise of his father, he says, I have checked the records. I have checked the records of my father and I find that you are owing my father 1 million dirhams. The truth of the matter was that his father was owing Abdullah bin Ja'far. Abdullah bin Ja'far was not owing his father. If we are being owed money by someone and that person came to us and says that you are owing me money, what will be our response? We'll sway his mother, sway his father and do all sorts of things. Yet what was the response of the Sahabi? He knows in his heart that I don't owe this money. This money is owed to me. But what does he say to Abdullah bin Zubair? No problem. When it is convenient, come and collect the 1 million dirhams. Abdullah bin Zubair goes back 1 or 2 days later. When he looks closer at the records, he realizes I made a mistake. My father owes this money. So he goes back to him. He says, please forgive me. I owe you this money. So he says, no problem, it is a gift to you, I have made it maaf. These were Arabs. He says, I'm not prepared to accept that. You have to take some sort of payment. So he says, give whatever payment you want. He says, I have this barren piece of ground. Barren land without water had no value, or was very minimal value. He says, take this in lieu of the debt. Abdullah bin Ja'far accepts it. Goes onto the land, puts his musalla down, reads 2 rakat salah, makes dua, calls his servant and says, dig on this spot. He starts digging, water starts gushing out. Now the value of the land has multiplied. So Abdullah bin Zubair says, give me back the land. He says, no problem, take it back, pay whatever you want to pay for it. This was their attitude. This was their thinking towards the dunya. On one occasion, one Bedouin came to Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, I am a musafir. I have run out of possessions. I need to go back home. Help me. So Abdullah bin Ja'far says to him, I have one condition. He says, what is your condition? He says, when you ask me for help, ask according to my personality. Don't ask according to your personality. He says, fine. Give me a camel, give me a set of clothes and give me some dirhams. Abdullah bin Ja'far becomes angry. He says, Zalim, I told you to ask me according to my personality, not your personality. I am giving you 100 camels, 100 set of clothes and 100,000 dirhams. These were Arabs. They were not takers. So he says, listen, I have no intention to open a clothes shop. I'll just take one set of clothes. Money also I don't need, I'll just take a little bit. But camels, this is something I can use. He takes the 100 camels. Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala who says, what I have given in Allah's name, I will not take back. What he hasn't taken must be distributed amongst the fuqara of Medina. If you look in the bazaar of today, if you look in the marketplace of today, unfortunately, my respected brothers, outwardly it is shining faces. Outwardly it is smiling faces. But behind the subterfuge, behind the deception of that radiance, are wolves. It is like wolves in sheep clothing. Each one is looking at the pocket of the other. Each one is trying to do the other one down. Each one is trying to usurp the rights of the others. In order to keep up with the James and Jones of society, we have become an ummah that is blinded to its objective, chasing after this dunya, living beyond our means. Qanaat, contentment, has become a thing of the past. Each one is trying to outdo the other. Each one is getting into credit. Each one is getting into debt. Yet if you look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-daynu rayatullahi fil ard, fa'idha arada Allah an yudhilla abdan wada'ahu fi unuqihi." He said, debt is the flag of Allah on this earth. When my Allah, listen my respected brothers with the ears of Iman, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when my Allah decides to disgrace someone, He puts him into debt. When my Allah decides zillat for someone, Allah puts that person into debt. Another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تخيفوا أنفسكم بعد أمنها. He said, do not imprison yourself after Allah has freed you. Do not imprison yourself after Allah has freed you. Sahaba says, what does this mean? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do not get into debt. On one occasion, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making dua. A'udhu billahi minal kufri wa dain. O Allah, I seek your protection from kufr. Kufr, the greatest guna. And with kufr, what does he ask? I seek your protection from debt. Sahaba was surprised. They said, Atadilul kufra bid-dain. O Nabi of Allah, have you equated kufr with debt? You're asking Allah for protection from kufr and with that from debt? He says, yes, I have equated kufr with debt. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala on one occasion, she says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continually seeking Allah's protection from debt. So I asked him, O Nabi of Allah, tell me, why do you keep asking for protection from debt? Why have you made this dua so often? What was the response? Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, getting involved in debt is such a thing that causes a person, when he speaks lies. When he makes promises, he breaks his promises. Debt is something that brings about this in a person. If you look in the business world today, post-dated checks, when the person says, I'm going to play current, sometimes conveniently he forgets to sign the check. All sorts of promises are made. I put it in the post. It's coming to you. There's the tracker number. One lie upon another lie upon another lie. Safwan bin Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anhu once came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him, Ayakun al mu'min jambanan? O Nabi of Allah, tell me, is it possible that a person can have iman and he can be a coward? Whilst cowardliness is not encouraged, but look at the question, is it possible to have iman and be a coward? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes. Then he asked him, Ayakun al-mu'min bakhilan? O Nabi of Allah, is it possible to have iman and be a miser? Whilst not encouraged, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, it is still possible. Third question, Ayakun al-mu'min kadhaban? O Nabi of Allah, is it possible to have iman and be a compulsive liar? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, this is not possible. It is not possible that a person can have iman and he can speak lies repeatedly. Yet, my respected brothers, debt is such a thing, involvement in debt is such a thing that brings this quality in a person, that one lie upon another lie is spoken. The rights of people are usurped. The marketplace has become a place of wolves. There are those, we can see the man is in a problem. We can see he's heading in the wrong direction. We give him money. Deals are made which are not permissible in Shariat. Exorbitant so-called profits are made on money advanced. We call it an investment. Shariat calls it riba. When the person can't pay, then we sway his mother, sway his father and malign him. Ghibat is made. People are slandered. We are not an ummah that goes in this direction. We are an ummah that has to keep akhirat in front. I will terminate. We have just few more minutes. On one hadith of Nabi Abbas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where two types of debts are mentioned. On the one hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is that person who out of necessity, there is that person, some people take a debt out of necessity. Some people will take a debt because they want to live beyond their means and they have no intention of paying it back. With regards to this type of debt, where the intention was to do the person down, he has no intention to pay it back. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment will take this person to task to such an extent that on one occasion Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving khutbah and he asked Sahaba, Hahuna ahadum min mari fulan, is so and so here? Is so and so? Is anyone from the family of so and so present? One person stood up and said, yes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, your relative has passed away. Inna sahibakum hubisa ala babil jannah bidainin kana alayhi. Your relative was about to enter Jannat. His entry into Jannat was blocked because of a debt which he left behind in this world. فَإِن شِئْتُمْ فَأَسْلِمُوهُ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ. If you want, hand him over to the azab of Allah. And if you want, then ransom him and pay his debt on his behalf. The sahabi said immediately, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عَلَيَّ دَيْنُهُ, I will pay his debt. The debt was paid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah has forgiven him. Allah has given him Jannat. In the riwayat, the amount was mentioned. What was he owing? The amount was 2 dinars. Because of 2 dinars, a sahabi's entry into Jannat was blocked. Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala who says, on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Janaza Salah. Then he sat on one side. All of a sudden, he put his hand on his forehead, lowered his head, and said, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, ma unzila min at-tashdeed. What a heavy order has come from Allah. Sahaba say, fasakatna, we became silent. We were too afraid to ask, what order has come? One entire day passed. The next day, Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Jahash goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mat tashdeed alladhi unzil. O Nabi of Allah, what was that heavy order that caused you to react like this? What is the response of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَوْ قُتِلَ رَجُلٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ عَاش ثُمَّ قُتِلْ ثُمَّ عَاش ثُمَّ قُتِلْ وَعَلَيْهِ دَيْنْ مَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى يُقْضَى دَيْنُهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, by the qasam of that being in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a person is made shaheed in the path of Allah, shaheed, then he is given life again and made shaheed again, given life again and made shaheed again, and he has an outstanding debt, he will not enter into Jannat until that debt is paid. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took qasam upon Allah and said this. May Allah ta'ala protect us. On the other hand, to complete that hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if someone out of necessity and need requires a debt, then it is a demand of human nature, it is a demand of compassion that we extend that debt. He says, if that debt is given, This person tries, he is unable to repay the debt. He dies in this condition. On the day of judgment, his creditor will come in front of Allah. And he will say to Allah, Ya Allah, he took my haq. Allah will say to this person, pay back the haq. This person will say, Ya Allah, my good deeds are finished. I have nothing to pay it back with. The creditor will say, Ya Allah, put my evil deeds upon him. Allah will say to the creditor, look up. He will look up. فَانْظُرْ إِلَى الْجِنَانِ Look at Jannat. The beautiful manzar and scene of Jannat will come in front of this person. There's no time to go into the description. I'm cutting it short. When he sees this beautiful Jannat with its beautiful maidens whose beauty are such, one glance will be 40 years. One embrace will be 70 years. Such beauty he will see. He will say, Ya Allah, who is this Jannat for? Allah will say, Liman Atani Thamana, the one who will pay the price. He will say, Ya Allah, what is the price for this Jannat? Allah will say, Bi afwika akhik. If you forgive your brother, that is the price of this Jannat. Forgive your brother, that is the price of this Jannat. This person will say, Ya Allah, I have forgiven him. Allah will say, take him with you and both of you enter into Jannat. That is when the debt was taken with sincere intention. But my respected brothers, this is such a grave thing. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sought protection from it. Nowadays, we are living in a society where the culture is debt. The culture is credit card. The culture is as long as we get it on terms, we are ready to buy any rubbish. We are not an ummah that has come to hanker after this dunya. We are an ummah of qanaat. We are an ummah of contentment. We are an ummah that came to make effort for the akhirat. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntech CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.